Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Tuesday, August 2nd, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
War veterans hand themselves to the police following the arrest of senior members of the War Veterans Association.
Cases of political violence go up in Masvingo province.
The police didn't react in a way that we expected them to react. Instead of arresting the members that were perpetrators of violence, what they had to do was to make phone calls to their bosses.
Some Zimbabweans stage a fresh protest in Zimbabwe.
We are here to demonstrate against police brutality. The government is against us. The police are also against us. They are attacking us everywhere we are.
And Mandela Washington fellows are ready to meet with U.S. President Barack Obama tomorrow.
I draw in my inspiration from Nelson Mandela. I also draw my inspiration from President Barack Obama.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
War veterans leaders Headman Moyo and Wayne Bila were arrested today after handing themselves over to the police. Senior Assistant Police Commissioner Charity Charamba told Studio 7 by phone that the police were still questioning the two over a communique released by the War Veterans Body. Moyo is the Deputy National Chairman of the War Veterans Body, while Bila is the Vice Chairman for Harare Province. The two's lawyer, Beatrice Mtetwa, could not comment as she said she was at the police station attending to her clients. Mtetwa is also representing the Secretary General of the Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association, Victor Matemadanda, who was arrested yesterday while attending a court hearing of his organization's spokesperson, Douglas Mahia, who was later released on bail.
At the same time, youth said to be members of President Robert Mugabe's ruling ZANU-PF party and those belonging to former Vice President Joyce Mujuru's Zimbabwe People First, or ZIF-PF, have clashed in Chinoye, Mashonaland West Province ahead of a ZIF-PF rally scheduled for Saturday. A minibus in which the ZIF-PF youth were traveling in was impounded by suspected ZANU-PF youth. The skirmishes that started at Shekuton suburb spread to the town's central business district. Our reporter Atha Chigoriwa has more details.
Indications are that four people were injured in the clashes between the rival party youth after ZIM-PF youth conducted a door-to-door campaign to mobilize local people for their rally on Saturday. ZANU-PF is said to allocate residential stands to its party supporters on Saturday, while Mrs. Mujuru's party will be holding a rally at Gazema grounds. ZANU-PF is also planning to hold a rally on the same day near Gazema grounds. One of the injured ZIM youth, Kudzai Romani, said he was attacked by the suspected ZANU-PF youth when he went to rescue a female party member.
ZANU-PF youth came and tried to disturb our programs. Then our youth was trying to pass through them to go and buy a frisbee. Then they tried to fight her. Then the other guys went there and tried to resuscitate the girl. Then they started fighting our youths.
Another ZIM-PF youth, Patrick Somondo, who was also injured, said he was attacked when he went to retrieve keys of a minibus that was allegedly impounded by ZANU-PF youth.
These guys came in their numbers and confronted the driver, and then they retrieved the keys from the driver. And when I approached them, no, what's the problem, Zons? You cannot come into this area and start campaigning.
ZIM-PF provincial leader Prosper Gavanga blasted the police for allegedly taking sides with ZANU-PF by failing to apprehend some of the ruling party supporters.
The police didn't react in a way that we expected them to react. Instead of arresting the members that were perpetrators of violence, what they had to do was to make phone calls to their bosses, asking what step they should do. And we really condemned that.
But ZANU-PF member Tommy Mwanza, who was on the scene, defended his youth, saying they were attacked while having their routine meetings.
As ZANU-PF, we have our own programs which is going on during the course of the whole week. So our youth were engaged in a meeting to mobilize for preparation of our stand distribution. So this so-called ZIM Fest, they came and interject our meeting. So our youth have reacted to that.
Romani said they won't be intimidated by the political disturbances as they are solidly supporting Mrs. Mujuru's party.
We are the youth in People First. We are the youth, former youth from ZANU-PF. So we know their attitude, we know their character. So then we are still going forward and we are doing what we are doing.
Police were not available for comment. Reporting for Studio 7 in Shackleton, Chinoy, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
In a related development, politically motivated human rights violations in Masungo province have gone up by 61%, a local rights group has claimed. In its latest regional survey, Community Tolerance, Reconciliation and Development Trust, or COTRAD, says over 400 cases of human rights violations were recorded in the first quarter of this year, compared to 32 during the same period last year. Gandri Maramba reports from the provincial capital.
The survey revealed that the human rights violation increased due to the worsening social, political and economic situation in Zimbabwe, fueled by the El Nino-induced drought. About 1,000 survey respondents accused the ruling party of allegedly using security forces, traditional leaders, and party youth for violating human rights through unlawful arrest, violence, and partisan food distribution. Contract Information Officer Brighton Ramos said this is an indication that the ruling party is allegedly using the state machinery to suppress dissenting voices.
Politically motivated human rights violations skyrocketed in comparison to the same period in 2015. Intimidation, threats, forced participation and forced contribution skyrocketed in rural areas, mainly between February and May.
Some human rights defenders like Sungana Zarabhanashe, coordinator of Masungo Women's Forum, claimed that the report is an accurate reflection of what is going on in Zimbabwe.
The report is a true reflection of what is happening on the ground, especially to women. They are the most people who are affected whenever there is violence, whether it is human rights, political or what. Women bear the most because they are the ones who cater for everybody at home.
HIV resident Trinos Kombe claimed that human rights violations were rife in his area.
Here in Chivi, we are facing a lot of violations, especially when it comes to food aid and everything. We don't have freedom of choice here.
ZANU-PF Provincial Political Commissar JP Jabun dismissed the survey, saying his party was not responsible for any human rights violations.
It's not true. ZANU-PF is a big party and has got the mandate of the people. For example, there are constituencies or wards that are represented by MDC councillors. And we've got ZANU-PF people there. They are all getting food fairly. And ZANU-PF is not involved in the distribution of food. ZANU-PF is not a political, it's not a violent party.
But COTRAD maintained that the survey reflected the truth and claimed that it had evidence to support its findings. Reporting for Studio 7 in Masungo, this is Gandhi Maramba.
Some Zimbabweans today staged a peaceful protest against police brutality, saying the government should ensure that civilians are not tormented for taking to the streets to air their grievances against President Robert Mugabe and other issues. Reporter Patricia Mdadigwa has more details.
The demonstration was organized by Restoration of Human Rights and Unemployed Youth Organization. It was not cleared by the police. The protesters urged the police to stop brutalizing peaceful marchers that are expressing genuine grievances. Tinashe Jakata, Restoration of Human Rights spokesperson, told Studio 7 that the role of the police is to protect citizens and not to beat them.
We are here to demonstrate against police brutality. We don't know who is now for us. The government is against us. The police are also against us. They are attacking us everywhere we are. Everywhere we demonstrate, they attack us. The police must protect us, not harass us.
John Majga, one of the protesters, said despite the alleged police brutality, Zimbabweans were no longer afraid of the new enforcement agents.
People are now no longer afraid to air out their grievances. And these are things that have been happening for so long in our nation. And at this point in time, it shows that, you know, if even the regime and all those who are protecting it, they should be afraid. Because we find that citizens are now protesting against police brutality.
The chairperson of the unemployed youth organization bemoaned the loss of the lives caused by the heavy-handedness of the police. His sentiments were echoed by Donald Mafudzi, a member of the Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign, which participated in the protest.
The death of little baby Kudakwashi Mutasa in Bulawayo shows no trace of public safety. The death of Cecilia Mapako, who died at the Nyanga police roadblock, shows no trace of public safety. The daily wars of police and combi drivers shows no trace of public safety. We are peaceful demonstrating.
The protesters, however, failed to get to the central police station after the police blocked them before they reached the place, which is synonymous with the arrest of civic society leaders and members of the public. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Patricia Mdadigwa.
Still in Harare, a High Court Judge Lavenda Makoni today granted an order barring the Zimbabwe Republic Police from interfering with a planned Ant-Bond Notes peaceful march organized by Transform Zimbabwe Party scheduled for Wednesday in Harare. Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights lawyer Sharon Hofisi and Kennedy Masie represented the opposition party. Transform Zimbabwe is urging Zimbabweans to march to Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa's offices, where they will deliver a petition rejecting the bond notes. Masie tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the police had previously barred the march, saying it would disrupt the smooth flow of humans and vehicles in the city.
Today we appeared in court and the judge ruled that the police had no right to deny them the right to demonstrate and petition. And also, we had earlier on gone in the morning where the lawyers from the civil division sought to get further instructions from the police. And when they came back in the afternoon, they had somersaulted, trying to seem as if they were consenting to the order, but they were actually querying the route. But we have since settled that, and the demonstration is going to go ahead as planned and also after the route that we have agreed.
What reasons were given by the police in denying Transform Zimbabwe the right to demonstrate?
One of the reasons was that there were high security issues going around in the past few days, and also that the clients were going to interrupt the human and vehicular traffic. But the reason why the clients supposed to have get notification was for those reasons to be addressed way before the march. But now the police are now trying to use those same reasons in court. But those reasons, as I suggested earlier on, they are flimsy reasons which do not hold water, given that the clients have got a constitutional right to petition and demonstrate.
That was Kennedy Masie of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights on the phone from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. The Mandela Washington Fellowship President Summit continued here in Washington, D.C. today with the 1,000 youth from various African countries networking and looking forward to U.S. President Barack Obama's address tomorrow to finalize the six-week fellowship. Many fellows, including nearly 60 from Zimbabwe, say they are excited about tomorrow. One of them is journalism lecturer Golden Maunganidze.
The most important thing that I'm taking away is that as an individual, I have a role in the community. I don't wait for the government or for the big person or for a business person to come and do things for myself. I need to go out and help the people through the means that I have. I have the resources that I have. I can go out and start making some progress. I do not need to wait and keep complaining or keep blaming. I need to concentrate on my strength and see what I can do for the community.
Who are the three individuals that you draw inspiration from?
Nelson Mandela, for what he did for the African continent and the whole world. Today we stand celebrating the life well lived. I also draw my inspiration from President Barack Obama for managing to bring like positive change and giving us hope to see that yes, we can make it as a nation or as a people. And lastly, I can say that my father inspired me a lot with everything that he contributed and invested in me.
Mandela Washington Fellow Golden Maunganidze speaking with reporter Ntunga Milinkomo. Another fellow, Annette Moyo, also shared her experiences.
6 weeks passed by so quickly because we were totally programmed. But there was a lot to learn, a lot to take back home. I will tell you that my interaction with the fellows, who themselves are a great resource. I think Africa is most resourced, not because of the resources that are underground, but because of the young people who are walking on the grounds of Africa. And it was very good to, in these 6 weeks, interact with them closely and get to learn from them and pursue possibilities of collaboration on the different challenges that are so similar across Africa that we are all working to try and alleviate.
Tell us three most important things that you are taking away with you from this program.
I think the first I've already alluded to, that recognition of the fact that as Africans we are very resourceful and we need to give opportunity to learning, to a learning exchange so that we are able to tap into each other's resources, because the challenges that we are facing right across Africa are actually the same. Probably the second thing for me was an understanding that solutions are not solutions unless they come from the people who are challenged. The third thing was personal. I learned a lot about myself and how I can package myself as part of the solution in Africa.
That was Mandela Washington Fellow Annette Moyo speaking with our reporter Ntunga Milinkomo. Please don't forget to tune in to our Youth Forum tonight when The Connection to hear more from more Zimbabwean fellows who will be live on the program.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
a closer look at the use of plastic money in Zimbabwe.
And ZANU-PF set to hold a crucial Politburo meeting amid protests in Zimbabwe.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
American voters are viewing Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton more favorably in the aftermath of last week's National Party convention, several surveys show, even as they continue to question her honesty and trustworthiness. The latest CNN ORC poll showed the former U.S. Secretary of State with an edge over Republican challenger Donald Trump, a real estate tycoon, making his first run for elected office on who would better handle several public policy issues, including the economy, immigration, health care, and fighting Islamic State terrorists. Clinton gained ground on all four issues over Trump from the last poll conducted by the cable news channel.
And Iraq's prime minister has issued a travel ban for several parliamentary officials accused of corruption. The ban was ordered as a, quote, temporary measure, end quote, against those accused and will remain in place until an investigation is completed, according to a statement from Prime Minister Haidia al-Abdabi's office. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
Uh, The shortage of cash in Zimbabwe's banks has resulted in an upsurge of the use of so-called plastic money and electronic transfers. This, according to Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa, who was quoted by the state-controlled Herald newspaper. Chinamasa says government is in the process of installing and activating point-of-sale machines in all government institutions. Zimbabwe is currently facing serious shortages of the United States dollar, which was adopted as one of the main currencies. Businesses and individuals have been reluctant to use plastic money, but according to economic commentator Bulisani Ncube, people have no choice but to use plastic money.
My take is, I would admit, yes, it has gone up, but not that because people accepted it as an alternative, but because they had no other choice. They were put in a situation whereby it's either you use plastic money or you spend many days queuing in the bank trying to get money, getting it in bits and pieces. So they find it far more convenient in the sense that you get your $100 today, then you do the rest of your other transactions. You buy your groceries in your supermarket, you pay your electricity and other bills using plastic money. I think people have been forced to accept plastic money rather than that they accepted it voluntarily.
But many people had not accepted the use of plastic money because of bank charges. What is the situation right now?
It remains true that the people have no choice. Yes, to a certain extent, the governor of the Reserve Bank has decreed that banks should reduce the bank charges. Even if there are bank charges, people have no choice. If you are then able to get your things done, you have to use plastic money. It's a question of where you've got no choice. This is the case. Despite the cost and everything else, people are bearing that because it is the only alternative.
There has been complaints from some quarters of the business community that these point-of-sale machines are not readily available in small towns or in the rural areas. What do you make of that?
Yes, but look, also businesses are beneficiaries of that. As a business, it's either you have it so that your people transfer, or if you don't, people are not going to transact. So what do you have? We have no choice as well, but get that machine so that you are then able to make business. So the choices really on plastic money have been very hard on people. It's not as easy to say there are alternatives. People have no alternative. If you are a transacting public, you have no choice but to accept it. If you are a business person, you have got no choice but to acquire it. If you don't acquire it, no one has got cash, so you're going to lose business.
In a way, do you think that the use of plastic money has alleviated the shortage of cash?
Yes, to a certain extent, yes. Because you don't have to necessarily wake up very early in the morning to queue at the bank. But what it has done, it has actually assisted people to accept and realize that it is possible to just carry a card rather than carrying a bag of money, but then you still do your business. It has been able to do. Even the unintended consequences has been that people have accepted and seen the value of and the security around the use of plastic money. If you lose your card, you know they've lost your money, they've lost the card, which you can go back and get a replacement in the bank. So it has actually increased the security for what is basically happening is now people are able to avoid losing their cash when they lose it. It has increased the security of their cash.
And that was economic commentator Bulisani Ncube. He spoke to Studio 7 on the line from Bulawayo. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
And in sports news, gold medalist and swimmer Kirsty Coventry has been selected as the Zimbabwe flag bearer for the opening ceremony of the Rio 2016 Olympic Games this Friday. Announcing this on her Facebook page, Coventry said, quote, "The weight of our flag will be heavy, but it will be lifted by the hope of millions," end quote. Meanwhile, Zimbabwe's mighty warriors are expected to kick off Team Zimbabwe's campaign at the Olympic Games in Rio de Janeiro tomorrow against European champions Germany at the Corinthians Arena in Sao Paulo. Voice of America sports reporter in Brazil, Alvaro Andrade, tells us more on what is going on.
I'm Alvaro Andrade. I'm from VOA in Rio de Janeiro in the Media Press Center, just waiting for a press conference with the mayor of Rio de Janeiro. He will talk about security, about how the city is ready or not for the Olympic Games, about the Zimbabwe human team in soccer. The Zimbabwe team is playing in São Paulo, it's other state, not here or near. Rio de Janeiro is around 6 hours from Rio de Janeiro in bus. And the Zimbabwe team starts performing tomorrow in the São Paulo. We don't have any information now about the Zimbabwe team. I'm waiting for a call from the chef of mission. Maybe you can have more information later. But everything is sharing for the Olympic Games. The overture ceremony will be Friday. Tomorrow start the soccer games in women category. In Thursday will be the men category in soccer. All competitions start Friday.
Tell us, what is the mood like where you are right now?
Well, I'm in the Media Press Center. All of us are running now. The mayor of the city will talk to the journalists. And the expectation today is the press conference in the afternoon, Rio de Janeiro time, with the refugee team. All of us are waiting a great press conference with these refugees. I think is one of the most important subjects between the journalists here in Rio de Janeiro. The city is a little mess because the transportation, the transit is a chaos. But the carioca, how they call the people of Rio de Janeiro, said we're going to have the best Olympic Games ever.
That there was the voice of America's Alvaro Andrade, who's actually at the Rio Olympics in Brazil. We also reached Zifa spokesperson Ngolani Gwesela.
The coach has already spoken that they assessed all their opponents, all the teams that are going to play against. They've accepted their underdog tag, but they won't. That in football, anything can happen. They are ready to face Germany. They are ready to face all opponents in the group. We wish them the best, and we remain confident that they will represent the country well. Good luck to Zimbabwe, women national team in the Olympics. Best wishes to the Mighty Warriors team.
Are you going to be organizing any watching parties for the Olympics, especially when it comes to the Mighty Warriors as Zifa?
We have not organized any watching parties at the moment, but we appeal to all members of the football fraternity and the nation at large to glue their eyes on their television set and support the girls' team, the Mighty Warriors, versus Germany tomorrow.
That there was a Zifa spokesperson, Kolisani Gwesela, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when hosts of The Connection, Thungameli Nkomo and Tatenda Kumbo, will be talking with Mandela Washington Fellows, who are wrapping up their 6-week program in Washington, D.C., and looking forward to talk to Barack Obama, the U.S. President.
If you wish to join the show, you can send a WhatsApp message on 001-202-465-0318. That number again, 001-202-465-0318. And please note that we are also live streaming on all our Facebook pages. So run around and go and like VOA Shona, VOA Ndebele, and VOA Studio 7 so you can join in the conversation.
And now to recap today's top stories.
War veterans hand themselves to the police following the arrest of senior members of the War Veterans Association.
Cases of political violence go up in Masvingo province.
And Mandela Washington Fellows say they are ready to meet with U.S. President Barack Obama.
That's it for tonight. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.